contract is still being with the piece of legislation that is being passed at the moment. And then we asked us to be excused for today so that we can deal with this one. And then that is our deliberation on the deal of legislation next week. Before that, about the ANC, I expected you to be after the meeting today for a festival. We have sent off that festival. So immediately after the meeting, you will be here until next week, Tuesday morning, that's at 9 o'clock. Annalise, you said before I started, you wanted to have a request. I give this opportunity for you then.
Thank you, yeah, I think it's just a technical thing. The data as it appears, I think it's not correct. First of all, the domestic violence report cannot be a research instrument. So I think it should be separate from the research instrument. And it's your decision, Jefferson, whether we take the report or not, but I also think that as a committee, we're not in a position to adopt this report because of the discrepancies that exist between the DVA report from the ICD and that of SAP, something that we raised last year already. And we, I think, before we can adopt any report, either from SAP or the ICD, in terms of domestic violence, we will have to have a meeting with both of them on present and explain to us the discrepancies that exist.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, we are going to take the presentation from the police on the report, and I do agree with you that we're not going to adopt it. But we'll take the report and then we invite the police again with the ICD. As you know, that ICD has got all the responsibilities on the monitoring of that was the implementation of the domestic violence. So we are going to take this report and we are going to engage in the report, but unfortunately we are not going to adopt it. And since that time we have a report from the ICT. We learned previously that you are aware that even the last time you had yourself and then we had to ask you questions arising from the ICD's report, and then we thought this time we did not have yourself applied and then they were applied, we need to have also in order for us to understand and see where we can assist the portfolio committee if there are any anything that we can do as the portfolio committee. You know, that's the thing. And we are here to I see we do have a presentation here. It's a small display than this one. Yeah. Okay, we'll start with this one. We'll take it then. If there are questions, we ask questions, but I will limit you guys to be doing this again. So I'll allow all of you to ask questions. And then after that, then we will release them. And then we will then start with the referral session for instance. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to come and make a presentation from the Senate. We have taken note of the previous report back to the portfolio committee, the discrepancies that were raised by the committee as far as our report, this shall be the report of the ICD content. We then entered into discussions with the ICD separate at national level, and eventually reached almost full agreement on the content of the report. And when I make the presentation today, you will see that the discrepancies that still exist are relatively minor discrepancies in terms of the legislation. But we are very sure in that. So that is just by way of introduction. Thank you. What we have to go into the board on is in terms of Section 85(b)(1) of the Act. And result of recommendations made by the independent complaints director. Now, if we look at the period 1 July 31 December 2007, the number of domestic violence incidents that were reported to the government of the service was 15,497. And I've given a breakdown of the different provinces so that one can get an indication of where this takes place. It's actually clear that this takes place across the country. Gauteng is above 12,900, Western Cape 9,000, Western Cape 6,000, Eastern Cape 5,000, Free Cape 4,000, Northern Cape also 4,000, and Northwest 2,000, and Central 2,000, and Mpumalanga more than 2,000 as well. So this is the spread of domestic violence. So I think it's important to remember the number 50,427 reported to the now, out of that number, 50,000 of incidents that were reported, only 11,641 resulted in criminal cases. Now, in this regard, I think it's important that we explain exactly where the criminal case is at. Even though an offense may have been committed, the South African Police Service cannot on its own open a case unless the complainant indicates that he prefers to believe the female person, prefers that the case be covered. Obviously, if the complainant is injured or not in a position to make that decision, then in that circumstance, we will open the case and we will investigate it until the complainant is in a position to give up the statement so that he can report the criminal case. But in this regard, it's actually very, very good. And usually, after the promulgation of this legislation and implementation of the research, we usually have a lot of misunderstandings that are going to be. People were under the impression that a criminal case, a complainant has to open a criminal case in order to qualify to apply for a protection order. But the act is actually very clear. The person who is the victim, the complainant, is entitled to apply for a protection order irrespective of whether. And I think it's also important that we must bear in mind that in many cases, victims of domestic violence prefer not to lay criminal charges. And the reason for it, we understand, may be various, but one of the most important reasons, often the husband or the male perpetrator is the person who's also the breadwinner that provides for the family. Now, they prefer not to lay criminal charges. First half of 2007, which is the last column. the total number of complaints to be dealt with during that period was 70. Now, that means cases, some of those 70 cases were cases that came over from the first part of 2007 that were not finalized during the first part of 2007. Now, of the number of complaints to be dealt with, the 70, 22 were found to be unjust. Now, when will a complaint become just? I think it's important that we understand. Sometimes, a complainant may be under the impression that she's entitled to certain service, which cannot be there by the and so she may complain about the fact that those services were unmet. And these are services are not services that are we are expected to render, but it is maybe services that may be required from another institution like a hospital or something, but then those services from we cannot sustain. The 2/2007 means the second 6 months of 2007, starting on the 1st of July and ending on 31 December. The 1/2007 is the previous report for the first 6 months. Okay? So the first list of figures you will see is compared to the second one, the first one. Then in three of those cases, we provide remedial counseling to the member. That is part of counter-discrimination system. And in this regard, I think it's essential that I make a few remarks about the discrimination state being taken. The Act requires that where we receive a complaint of a member not complying with his or her obligation in terms of we must take disciplinary action against that member unless the ICD exempts that particular member from the disciplinary action. So we have to report it to the ICD, and in those instances where we believe that this is a matter where we should not be taking disciplinary action, we may motivate that to the ICD, but the ultimate decision lies in the ICD. If the ICD decides that we must take disciplinary action, then obviously. In those instances where we know that this is a matter where disciplinary action needs to be taken, we do it. So the next four figures that you will see, remedial counseling, verbal warning, written warning, disciplinary hearing, those are the instances where we did take disciplinary action, irrespective of whether the ICD tries to do so. Three cases we provide the remedial counseling. You look at how the disciplinary system starts with remedial counseling, then a verbal warning, then a written warning, and you're going to even have a final written warning, and then lastly, the most severe form of the disciplinary action is the disciplinary hearing. At the end of the 6 months, 20 of those cases are still under investigation. In other words, they will not be completed. In respect of 11 cases, the ICD indicated that no disciplinary action should be taken. And in 8 cases, we were still awaiting the decision of the ICD after we had made the recommendation to the ICD. It is interesting to note that although we say at the top that we dealt with 70 complaints, the new complaints that came in. Now, the some of them came from the previous 6 months that were not yet finalized, we were waiting for the ICD or the disciplinary action to be postponed, so we are still in progress. But of the new cases, new complaints that we received as the South African Police Force, so we certainly see in South Africa as a whole. Now, if you compare, this is important for us, Jacob, this is what we have agreed with the ICD as well. If you now compare our report for this period with the report of the ICD, then you will see that they refer to 57 complaints, while we are referring to 70 complaints. Their 57 complaints also include some complaints that were transferred from the previous report. They determined that in 70 instances the complaints that they received. In other words, it's not matters that we refer to them, it's matters that they receive. where they decided what to tell me. And if you look at their report, you will see that they say that they, in 16 instances, instructed us to take that disciplinary action. And if you compare that to the instances where we did take the disciplinary action, you will find that we did the disciplinary action in 9 cases, which means there were 2 cases where we didn't help out. I cannot doubt the fact that the 6 cases were all finalized. And then as far as they were concerned, 34 cases were still under investigation by the ICD. In other words, they had not yet made up their minds with regard to that. While as far as the police were concerned, we were still under investigation for 30 cases. Obviously, the ICD did not put in their report the number of instances where they informed the police and that the action was taken, and the number of cases that were still out there. But if we now compare the ICD report to the South African Police Service, then we find that the ICD report indicated fewer cases for than the police. Why? Why would they be that bad? The difference will be there because some people may elect to go directly to the ICD. Now we are all aware of the fact that the ICD is a relatively small organization. And they don't have offices in many towns. So, in many instances, people will not have the ability to go directly to the ICD. But, it doesn't mean that in areas where they do have offices, that people do not go directly to the ICD. And then, of course, the 17 cases to some towns that were cases that they determined were not previously complied with their obligations, irrespective of whether they came to the ICD. So, I think if we now look at those two, rows of fears or piles of fears, we get a clearer understanding of the difference. But all that we can say about the difference in the numbers is because some of these things are reported directly to the police, and once we have investigated and we are satisfied that it is not a contravention of the obligation, it will not be reported to the police. Once we have investigated, we can find that it is a previous or pile of an obligation. But several of those cases that we report to the ICD, they also get independent insight from the control. So the two reports can never be the same because it is the same. Then as far as training is concerned, the purpose of their training on domestic violence is to ensure compliance with the Act and the National Instruction, and to develop the necessary skills to enable members to deal with incidents of domestic violence in a sensitive, professional, and manner. Now, Chairperson, I missed something, and with your permission, I would like to go back to the previous slide. If we look at this number of two rows called incidents of we know that there were 7 complaints that we dealt with. Now, if we take that figure, I mentioned that we only received 33 new ones. But let us assume it was 7 for the purposes of the problem. If I take it back to the figure of 50,497 complaints we received, and we say that only 70 of them were complaints by members of the public that came to the attention of the police of incidents where they believe members of the public did not comply with the obligation. Now that means that in less than one out of every 700 domestic violence incidents reported to the police, we do not receive a complaint about the way in which they were acting. So, that does not mean that we can be complacent or say that our members are dealing with it correctly all the time. We are aware, sincerely aware of the fact that they are not always complying with their obligations. But this gives us some indication that our members, some of our members, and I believe a large number of our members, are really trying to do it. But to come back to the training. First of all, we have reported already earlier on that the domestic violence and new warrior was included in our basic training program. In other words, the new recruit coming into the police service will be exposed to the basic training program, which contains comprehensive training on the domestic violence. And that has been part of our training since 2000. So every single new recruit appointed since that day has undergone this training. Now, during the reporting period, the last 6 months of last year, 5,671 new recruits underwent the basic training school program, and therefore also new training in the department. Then we have our FCS specialists. These are the people, the family, violence, child protection, and sexual offences unit. It's a detective unit specializing in these types of offences. And we have trained during the 6 month period a total of 146 members that are specialists in the field. And they handle also all the investigation of all cases involving because of feedback that we have received in the past, we have decided that perhaps our training is not that good as far as the detectives are concerned, because we struggle to get through the training program within a 3 week period. So accordingly, we extended the training from 3 to 4 weeks. But this is very specialized training. It's specialized training for detective members that are involved in the investigation. In-service training. As far as in-service training, more than 4,000 members were trained during the reporting period. Now, let me break down the 4,000 members so that you have an idea of what we are talking about. I think not the previous occasion, but the occasion, the very opposite occasion, we reported two recruits that with the assistance of donor funds from overseas, a 5-day training program on domestic violence for ordinary members. I'm not talking about detective service members. Ordinary members was developed and was presented as a pilot project in the UK. And during that pilot project, we also trained trainers to take this training to the rest of the province, to the other provinces, and then start training members. So the 4,000 consists of members that were trained in that program. And this program is still carrying on, the 5-day program. Then apart from that, as a result of the discrepancies, the difficulties that we still experience at our police stations, with some police stations not complying, the National Commission has instructed me and I did this personally, together with my colleagues, instructed me to go to every single province and train all the station commissioners on the responsibility of a station commissioner with regard to the now, if you look at the complaints or shall we say, audit conducted by the ICD, which is also reflected in the report, and it's a very interesting report, you will see that by far the vast majority of the discrepancies that they encountered at the station related to certain management measures at the police station that was not applied. Let me give you an example. Certain races that we get. When somebody reports to the domestic violence incident, it must be forwarded in that area. Now, if that register is not properly taken, then it means that those members are not complying with the obligation to serve. Obviously, a member of the public will be unaware. But in our internal processes, when we go through and we do inspection certifications and we find it, then we take action. Once we receive a report like this one from the ICD, then obviously, incidentally, as far as this report is concerned, we are in the process. They listed in no less than 276 police stations on which they are reporting. But it's very encouraging from the ICD report. We noticed that in respect of each of these stations, they had discussions with station management at that police station. And also indicated, as far as we are being informed, the committee indicated to the committee that they will follow up to see whether there's a remedial action and action is being taken. So that is excellent work, and we are in the process of following it up to satisfy ourselves to the management that those things have been rectified. Now, so that 4,000 members also include the station commissioners, and we will refer to the station commissioners later. Then, when we have identified so find situations where people get to a police station, especially our inspectors or other people, get to a police station, ask questions about the domestic violence cases, and then a member will simply throw up their hands and say, I don't know anything about this, I've never heard of it. So where we identify problems of that nature, then we institute special training for that station, not to be. And I can assure you that I have not seen one single thing where a member made a remark that he doesn't know what a domestic violence act is or about the register for anything where they actually do not. So it's a matter of the proper control measures were not instituted by the station management of that piece. And then we identify. And that is also the purpose of the training that we are doing as a commissioner. Now, this training program of station commissioners, where we focus specifically on the management of domestic violence responses from the South African Police Service. That training program. We have completed the training of all station commanders in the precinct, in Gauteng and the East Coast. At present, we are working with the West Coast. In fact, we have had two training sessions already. Two-thirds of the station commanders, the station commissioners in the Western Cape have undergone training and have been made fully aware. And in this regard, we also sensitize our station commissioners about their management responsibility. What we have done, we have requested our internal audit team of the South African Police while conducting its internal audit at the police station, to also conduct an internal audit on exactly what is happening as far as the police department and the management of the police department. And they report on this matter to the police station and we take the legal steps nearly within the audit as well. The auditor general conducted performance of this at the police station and made reports to us and requested management comments in respect of certain discrepancies that they found with regard to the management of the police. Each one of those issues are followed up and we make sure that that is the situation is taken up. And there have been instances where the national commissioner removed the station commissioner from a particular station simply because of his failure after a number of interventions to a certain station to actually get his management of the domestic violence clear. Now, as far as the monitoring and evaluation is concerned, in respect of each case reported to the South African Police involving domestic violence, meaning a criminal offense. And I think this is once again important to reiterate that domestic violence in South Africa is not a crime. Domestic violence is not a crime. Domestic violence can take one of a number of forms, and offer approximately 8 different forms in terms of the Domestic Violence Act. Of domestic violence, only 3 or 4 may possibly, in certain specific circumstances, constitute criminal offences. But for instance, economic abuse. When a husband removes the refrigerator and tells him to buy alcohol or to buy liquor, in those instances, that person does not commit a criminal offense. So that is where the possibility of protection order comes in. And once the protection order is offered, then the defendant constitutes a criminal offense. Okay. But in respect of each criminal offense is alleged to have been committed and is reported to the police and the complainant referred to lay charge. The is designated to conduct a full investigation and present the document to the public prosecutor. And this is done then by members that have been received specialized training in terms of our safety program, family violence, child protection, and sexual safety program. Then, in the case of non compliance by members, if there is failure by members to comply with an obligation in terms of the Act, that constitutes misconduct in terms of the other. And the disciplinary proceedings are instituted against such members, unless the ICD dies otherwise. Now, National Evaluation Services is also continuously conducting inspections at police stations, not specifically focused on the police department, but we made a point of making sure that he is placed on the top of the list of aspects that must be inspected when they visit the police. So these are also steps that we take in order to ensure that we can comply. Our challenges, there will still be more training required to ensure that members will be able to balance the problem. This is currently being addressed by internal training, and more specifically, that five-way program, and the interventions that I referred to where we identify the people. Secondly, gender sensitivity is required to properly deal with the problem. We still find, we are living in a society, our members of the South African community grew up in this society. They are part of the society. And we find that in our society in South Africa, gender sensitivity is a matter that needs constant addressing in society as a whole. And because it requires that constant addressing, it requires constant addressing in the police service. And we expect our members to be more than an ordinary member of the society. So therefore, this is the type of thing that we try to address by presenting workshops on diversity and gender issues. The challenges that we experience. Community is not yet to be aware of the sensitized about the protection afforded by the Act. What do we do to sensitize the members of the problem? Our communication and behavioral services have printed a number of booklets, posters, other material, promotional items, without radio talks, in details, etc., in order to raise awareness amongst members of the public out there, so that they will be aware of what they are entitled to in terms of the community building process. And then finally, and this is a matter that we continue to delay. One of the challenges as far as domestic violence is concerned, domestic violence is skirting the society. It is not the sole responsibility of the community building. Different stakeholders, NGOs, and community initiatives will be essential to properly dealing with the violence. Our international research in this regard has indicated that to properly address a particular family where domestic violence occurs, to properly address domestic violence requires long-term professional counseling by people who know exactly what it is, not by police. We can only deal with the criminal aspect related. And the assistance you provide us to obtain a certification. Jefferson, that is for all. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you very much. From the police, dancing, and crossing the domestic violence. I'm sure that we do have persons of classes and common persons of action. We are welcome to share them. I know that in most of the instances, members of parliament are the ones that are more in contact with the communities, especially the cities. I mean, they experience all the ends of the way up here. And some of the persons we say, we can say that we can take the police station, police don't know what they're doing when it comes to police, but unfortunately, in most of the places that we went to. I don't want to debate them, but this is what I'm saying, as people who are in the community, police are members of the community, we do our oversight to them. There are some other places that we need to take even the police themselves, some of the national office, they don't know even, they don't know police, they exist. Even the provincial, the provincial commissioner, we took them to the station, the police don't know them. They recognize the people that came here, so they saw everything, but they don't know the provincial commissioner. So those are some of the things that we can come back. I recognize one of them, and one of them was it, and fundraising the people, and like many cases, I didn't know them.
Thank you, Chairperson, and this is Duncan.
And just because land is only flight, I think of page 3, the flight 4 and 5. On the statistics, the excess of 146 members have been trained on specializing in the specialties of micro environment. And that, and also on the other flight, 4,000 members have been trained as part of insect training. Where are these people employed? Can you finish up with your geographic spread in the province? The other last question is on page 4, on your challenges, whereby you speak about coastal. One wants to ascertain whether we are using all official languages, because other people cannot read Afrikaans or Xhosa, so that we can reach out on all communities. I'm well aware that Gauteng has the most highest number on domestic violence, an economic hub. As I wanted to know whether such areas you actually consider to have more training and specialization.
And you can tell me that everyone was defined meeting after the article. I get asked to come to Tuesday in the where you find at the CSC when I was going to get my head to get in the center for the point and not. So there are still five issues. I want to know from him, he mentioned the people that they are training. How does this training filter down to Asians? And also, what is the difference between the training that we are doing and the ICT? Because the two stations are very different. The station commissioner said to me that this thing is confusing them. Because when the ICT comes and inspects, they are telling them this is how they are doing it, this is how it's supposed to be done. And when they come, they are almost commissioned and they say, no, this is not how it's done, this is how it is done. What is the intent? And how do you bring that together so that when whoever inspects, they get the same result? And also the fact that on one of the slides under investigation, I think that was the two under investigation. He mentioned that it goes to the second quarter. Why does it take so long? But it depends on the external investigation for the time being tenant.
I must say that already I went to this report as well, and I could already get the discrepancies again from the ICT things that you are quoting here. 10 years since this legislation was adopted. This year is the 3rd year that we have 365 days against women abuse, women and children abuse. In a few months' time, we're going to have 16 days of activism. It's good and well to say that it's not their problem alone, and I agree it's not their problem alone. But they are the first stop for many people. And I think the time has arrived for this committee to maybe request through the minister or whomever you would know better that a proper evaluation of the effect of this legislation and the effectiveness of this legislation be conducted. I think 10 years after it's been introduced, it may be a good time to do so. My concern is that I don't think the departments are working together. So while staff are telling us that, you know, it's not their problem alone, social development must get involved, etc., I would like to know how many times, when a case is reported, whether it results in a criminal case or not, staff actually forward that information to the Department of Social Development. If I would say no. And that is exactly the problem. That's exactly the problem. So it's not my responsibility, but therefore I'm not going to do anything about it either. And I think that is what we need to look at here, is that we need to reevaluate this whole piece of legislation. If it means that it needs to be strengthened in order to create a better coordination between the departments, then it needs to be done. To force them to coordinate, then we need to do it. Chairperson, the fact of the matter is I've got a serious concern about training. I know you share that concern. Training the station commissioners, with all due respect, is obviously not having the desired effect. Because if you look at the ICD findings, it's actually quite a new yourself pointed out. It's management. There is a bill for these stations for the past 4 years, I'm not correct. Go there, they can't find their register. You go back, they can't find their register. The ICD goes there, they can't find their register. Now somewhere, something in terms of training is wrong. Secondly, if you have that attitude by your manager, and you say that we are going to have any service training of police officers, all that will happen is that bad habits will be transferred to the other men. We got to the same that in Ashington, which is classic in terms of Northern Cape, where you would have high incidence of domestic violence. What is the average difference? Two per month reported. Two per month. Come on, we all know it's not true. The other station, they couldn't find the register because it was locked up. Now, you also mentioned that the audit committee and the inspectorate and everybody is looking at these things as well. We can tell you that at that specific station, they were given out in detention for more than 48 hours, and your inspector didn't even pick up on them. They were there at the station at that point in time being an inspector that didn't pick up on them. They didn't know it. They didn't address it. So, quite frankly, I think the interventions that the police are taking is not working. I don't think the training is working. I don't think the interventions are working. I don't think it's been taken seriously. I don't think the fact that the police are part of the community, although it's true, should be an excuse. I think that is where we should make the difference. And I would really call on you that I think the time has come for this committee to relook this legislation, to have a thorough research done on the effectiveness, even if we've got to involve somebody like the Institute of Violence and Reconciliation to assist us with it, that we do it. And that is very important. We are fighting the most vulnerable of the vulnerable in society. This act is not achieving what it was set out to achieve, and I believe that we are fighting. We need to do something.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I just want to go back to what I was raised on the 2000 and 2003.
I'm also interested that it does not then and it breaks down in each province and which qualification this training has been done. And also I just want to check whether have you done follow up to go back and check whether are they complying with the law after the training. I'm so much interested in my constituent area annual qualification of my service training station commission. The station commission now is having its own office outside the qualification. If you train that one, I wonder where is the register, who's doing the register inside of the police station. Because it's having his own office, I don't know whether it's a professor or station commissioner or one outside town and the police station is alone there. I just want to check if it's included, yeah, that station commissioner is included in this portal that is, has he transferred the knowledge that he's trained into other members to do the work because he has never found in the police station. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. I will tell the clarity on the CIA and the conflict. The component of my number 3, page 1, where you have the breakdown of our policies, for example, how we get shot on the road. These are incidents reported to police station, which is in this month, from July to December. 2008. Now, on page 2, slide number 1 there, where the breakdown of each attended school. You have complaints that we are found at the cause and cause. When you go to Peter, it is not correct in the text. It's like a total number of cases, I think it is one problem. Now, I want to know whether, because of our effort, but is there if there is showing that there are so many are still outstanding in the report. And then these are the only ones that we have dealt with. If there is a competition then my other question is that each this has been raised by and I think that people have already participated in the make recommendations to police to deal with specific cases. But they don't get feedback to know, to be told what happened to those cases. And their report will always differ with their report because they don't know what happened to those cases. I don't understand.
So the
question
is
that
the evaluation
when you do kind of presentation, it is very, very effective. If what we have here this morning, what applies for this next session, what is actually making a lot of difference in the community. But what you are hearing and seeing on the ground is different from what is in the big state. What is the purpose of having continuous internet training? When we were caught before, it was producing a slide of results. So what I want to do before the training is, how does the department ensure that what they taught has been applied? Because what's the use of all this training and giving information and knowledge that is never applied? There must be a way of ensuring that what given to members we hear about FCS stations. Now those stations should be making a difference. Now where are they making a difference? Why is lots of people calling people stations when their station is different from them? That's why we want to do all the things. Where are they right so that they can make a difference?
Thank you very much, the last question was like from Madam Carmen. If you choose to use your phone on some of the questions, if you want to. I think we will give a motion that Carmen will come with the, together with the IC And I know that some of the issues that have been raised were like the issue of Mpumalanga. You know, when you raise policing in Mpumalanga, I wish everybody was to be because there's nothing like policing in Mpumalanga. Policing in Mpumalanga is the fundamental concern. And then in my office, I've shown a lot of complaints from members of the public complaining about policing in Mpumalanga. And I have decided to take that as my principal because nothing needs to be done. I mean, something needs to be done immediately. You can imagine a station commissioner sitting somewhere 10 kilometers from the station commissioner. What is that you can expect from that station line? And also about this training of the police on the domestic violence act. I think here we should take the quality of that training. I think the quality of that training is problematic. Some of us went to the training colleges, when we came back from a training college, it showed the kind of training that the police are doing. It's not one of the best. I don't know who came with that, but whoever came with that has failed the nation. That's some sort of training on domestic violence. Or someone is not taking it seriously. If we can have committed police officers or committed management, because others, it's a problem of managing. You can imagine when you come to the station and they tell you that the resident offers the office is locked up and he's gone with the keys. If you have a commitment, so I think there's a problem of people who are managing the station. I will try my best to try and address this matter with the microphone and see whether that can do when it comes to re-evaluating the effectiveness of the act.
Thank you, yes. I think that is a very important remark that you made, that perhaps it starts by the concern of the because I must tell you that we are also experiencing difficulties as far as the application of the legislation. Just last Friday, bidding his wife to enter the shared residence, and at the same time, the wife took out the protection order she obtained from the very financial state. So he was in her absence from not allowing her to enter there. So these are the type of difficulties that we are experiencing. So we would also welcome this type of consideration. Let me make a few remarks. First of all, I think it's very easy as far as the figures are concerned. The 50,000 refers to cases reported to the police of domestic violence. So somebody comes to say, my husband has beaten me or did that or the other. That's 50,000. The 70 cases that we dealt with are only members of the public coming to say that last week I reported the domestic violence at home, but the police did not do their work. So it is only those they complain about the police not doing the performing work. So that's the difference. As far as explaining geographic circumstances, I can provide that information. I know that exists, but I can provide that information. As far as the focus are concerned, what we do is we focus every problem that a number of languages that are so called, predominantly used in the problem. So what we do is we try to our promotion material in that language is in that particular province. We focus to ensure that we do it in the 16-day of that specifically. As far as Gauteng is concerned, we acknowledge it may be that more training than it is. As far as training is concerned, I think it's essential that we make a few remarks. In the police training college, a member receives basic that tells the member what must he do if a person walks into the police station or down to the steps we take, each one. That's the easy part. Then you get your FTS rate. That is not members dealing with physical problems. All they will do is once that member of the public will report it in the inquiry, elected to open a criminal case, to lay a criminal complaint, or even an assault case. Then a document is opened, and this is sent to an FTS detective who specializes in the investigation of such cases. So that those people will not deal with the physical problems. They deal with the criminal investigation, but we train them how to deal with the criminal investigation of this case. Because often children are involved in how to deal with children, how to take statements from them, conduct investigation, gather evidence, which is of this nature. And then thirdly, we take statements. Now the reason why the National Commission has instructed me to conduct that training for station commission is exactly because we find the following situation. Let me give you an example. How did it come from the police branch? Fresh training from the next part. How to do it, what to do. Now they arrive at the police station. A certain habit has developed at the police station. Those newly trained members will say, but this is wrong. We were trained to do it differently. Then the old members will say, forget what we learned there. In this station area, we do it differently. So it's a problem. So there's that conflict. Yeah, and now, how do you address that conflict? The problem is if your station management also has the wrong perception. So the National Commission says, let's get it right at station management there. Because once it is right over there, it can then, they can make sure that the rest are complying, and if they are not complying, then they can say they have the power to take action against those members to ensure that they comply. So that's the reason. And let me say, to be very clear on this, we started this training during the last 6 months of last year. We can already see the difference from the provinces where we did see the station commission. No, it is not perfect. And they are still problems. But as they arrive, we try to do it. Then the problem of the register not being available, that's exactly what the station you see, in terms of our existing instruction, the station commissioner must designate a senior member to inspect all the registers in the station. But now we find that when you get there, there's no register. So therefore, we change it with regard to domestic violence only. We instruct the station commissioner that each one of you must inspect, personally inspect your domestic violence register once a month. That training, how we put the down of station commissioners, once again, they are forced to conduct their own inspections at the station. Number two, when they conduct it, they're going to find discrepancies, tell people what they should have done and make sure that it can be done in the future. So that's as far as the ICD training is concerned, yes sir. I have not been personally present where the ICD visited the police station, but I can give you an example of when the Auditor General visited the police station. And they took our domestic violence register. And one of the complaints they gave to us was that all the columns is not completed on every occasion. So then we looked at the specific entry numbers they requested. And then we find there is either an OB number, OC number, a current book number, or you will find a pocketbook number. Now, if you go and read the instructions, you'll see that if a member arrives at the house of someone to, as a result of being called out, and he handles the domestic violence incident for the day, he must record it in his pocketbook. But if a person comes to the police station, then it cannot be recorded in a pocketbook, it must be recorded in the station diary. So there will always be one of the two collections. I suspect that some of these complaints of the ICD about certain police stations, and we picked it up at certain police stations, is because there are certain columns not complete. But they are not supposed to be completed because they are alternative columns. Then, but we are discussing with the IPD concerning this very matter to make sure that people that don't help understand the domestic violence instruction so that they understand what to look for. And I believe that in many instances we will be able to take the part. So that they will not give wrong information to the individual or our inspectors will be wrong information. Why do investigations take so long? That's a serious problem. We identified that. So therefore we instructed the National Commissioner to have a video conference with all the provincial commissioners and instructed them to pay priority attention to the investigation of the complaints against members of the police. And therefore you will see that the number, if we look at the slide which on the screen at the moment, if you look at the number for the first half of 2007, you will find that there were 42 cases under investigation. If you compare that to the second half, you will really see the difference. Only 20 cases have gone under investigation. Yet there are cases where the investigation failed. Why? A member of the public state in Gauteng. Now they come on holiday to Cape Town. They inquire where? And there's an incident of domestic violence in that family. The police is called. The police handle the situation. They are unhappy by the way the police handle it. They lay a complaint, and next week they are back in Gauteng. So now the police in Western Cape are trying to talk out between here and the Gauteng. So there are exceptional cases like this where it is understandable why it's taking long. But in the majority of instances, we are unhappy with the time period, and we have succeeded in bringing it down by more than 30%. So we are doing something about it. Why in 77% of cases are no criminal cases? Well, see, because not all forms of domestic violence are criminal offenses. I gave the example, if the husband takes a refrigerator and forms it to get money to buy liquor, it's not a criminal offense. But it is domestic violence. Remember, domestic violence itself is not an offense. Assault is an offense. Theft is an offense. Malicious damage to property is an offense. Right? And so on. These are offenses. But domestic violence, there's no such crime in our law. Okay. So, in those cases where it is not a criminal offense, that person in terms of domestic violence cannot lay a criminal charge, but cannot stay in a protection order. Now, if the protection order, for example, of the refrigerator, if the protection order says to this man, you may not sell the refrigerator, bring it back home. And he fails to do that. That's a contravention of a court order. That is a criminal offense. But you see, that would be a second incident of the name of God, contravening the protection order. So not all cases are criminal. Apart from that, we find still that many of our complaints do not contravene. They say, I do not want to do it because I'm afraid if you raise my husband, he's going to lose his job, and where will I get money for me and this? We understand that it is a dilemma. And it is still the complainant's choice. So that is a serious problem. We are about to address it. Quite frankly, man, that's the problem. Okay. As far as the remarks on the discrepancies between us and the IEC is concerned, I think we have pointed out how we have succeeded in our participation to the ICD to sort those discrepancies out. Yes, there are still discrepancies. I can mention them. But I do not want to, because I'm not here to do any blaming of another institution which is not here. There are still some instances where the ICD will say, but this member, it was a substantiated complaint, because the member failed to make an arrest. There's no obligation in terms of the Domestic Violence Act on a member to make an arrest. Never. It's a discretion that the member must exercise. In fact, that discretion is very limited in terms of the domestic violence. So therefore, there will be those instances. Now they regard that as a substantiated complaint. We tell them it's not. So it is not something that we can take disciplinary action. So, there is still those discussions, but the majority of them have been told. I can assure you, because the previous one, what there was serious differences between our court and the other one. The effectiveness of the legislation. I have mentioned, and I think a very valid remark was made by one of the Commonwealth members about the cooperation between different government departments. The question was asked, and I must sadly admit to the answer. If we receive a complaint of domestic violence, do we report it to social development so that they can take action? The answer is no, we don't. The fact of the matter is, at national level, we liaise with those departments of social development. I'm afraid, Madam Chair, if I can take you back, 50,497 cases reported in 6 months. The Department of Social Development simply does not have the manpower, people's power, women's power, whatever you want to deal with those things. It's impossible. It requires long-term counseling. In those instances where children are involved and we identify that the children are in need of care and protection, we remove the children and then go to social development. Yes, in those instances we do it well. What we rather say to station commissioners in our national approach is station commissioners must mobilize their community police forum and get them to provide stuff like shelters. 2 months ago, in South Africa, a conference was held to determine what the state of shelter ring in South Africa. In total, there are 60 shelters in the whole of the Republic of South Africa. That is absolutely unacceptable. And if you don't have a shelter, what do you do? Therefore, we ask our station commissioners, mobilize the community to provide shelter. Sometimes care tools are utilized. Members of the public say, I would like to remove my house available to it. We must try and do within the limited resources also of other departments to see what we can achieve. Yes, we try and get other service providers, like psychologists, like people who can provide. You will find that at many police stations we've established trauma centers. But the trauma center is not a shelter. It is there to do initial trauma debriefing. And thereafter, this victim must go somewhere. And we cannot provide, in violent African police service, we cannot provide shelter. That's not the purpose of the shelter. That's something that must be done by other departments, and they cannot within the constraints of their license. It's impossible. So it is something that we need, when we do a proper audit of the effectiveness of it, we need to look at ways to see how we can actually bring about better cooperation between the departments. I don't think we do not properly, I admit that. As far as our inspectors is concerned, the inspector is at the station where there were problems and they did nothing about it. Ma'am, I will take this matter. As far as the recommendations to the police by the IC is concerned, Chair, we are in the process of talking to the IC, saying to them, a report of this nature is not a recommendation to the police. We need information about the case. Provide it to us. Don't keep it in your offices for 6 months and then report it to us. During that 6 month period, we could have done something with that information. We could have rectified it. Now the station is still carrying on after 6 months. So we are in discussion with them in order to get a workable way in which that flow of information will be faster. But it is very difficult to get that. But we are in the process and we will get that right. I'm sure we will get that. There's no question about that. And then, the in-service training is supplied. I think I've made mention about that, so I'm not going to go into service. I think far as Mpumalanga is concerned, Chairperson, what we say is absolutely, and I do not know the name of the police station, whether the police commissioner is staying or what we take along this way from the station. If I get the exact information, I can follow that up. But let me say in general about Mpumalanga. Yes, it's an area where we have problems. Most definitely we have problems. But what is amazing, if we look at the figures that eventually came out, you will find that Mpumalanga has the lowest number of incidents of domestic violence reported.
It's obvious that the law is quite no good with the police and the police, because there are no police. There are no police, nobody will report. If you walk with their report, so there's no police. That's why in Mpumalanga, they're supposed to be zero. To be honest. You see, the last police was really police, zero. So nobody take police in Mpumalanga. We went there, we did many things in Mpumalanga. Nobody, we went into the community. We spoke to the community. We had actually a joke from Parliament. So they said that you are a joke, if you are talking about police in Mpumalanga. Unfortunately, we have this problem of the commissioning from Telco to the Hoki, you know, on TV. Yeah, so it's difficult to intervene at that level. That's why I'm saying that we try another way, but I don't know how, but we try. Yes, I mean.
We've got the answer to the question. Getting protected, I mean, the reality is quite frankly, you said that the public doesn't know the legislation yet, and they don't know the advantages yet, and et cetera, et cetera. So to tell us that it's low, it's an increase in limit. And, you know, we're going to start with a debate that I don't think we have the time for. Even the 50,000 persons of other than doesn't know the capacity, how can you decide whether they have the capacity or not? It's for us to give them that capacity. And 50,000 is not 50,000 different families, so all know that family violence is a real occurrence. So break it down, it might be 50,000 families that we're talking about. So I really think, you know, all the questions have been answered. I don't think we've raised the previous one with the same presentation. That perhaps needs to be stopped. Scotty wasn't even here the last time we did that, and he picked up a month now. Stop being protected about this issue. Stop defending. It's a problem, it's a huge problem, we need to do something about it. I think we've got the answers to the questions, and that's just how we'll meet again.
Thank you very much, Eva. Thank you very much, Eva. Yes, I think we did get a response. I must also say that there are some other provinces that have been dealt with together with the police. I know the Northern Cape, for instance, some areas of the Northern Cape would even get a response from the ICD on behalf of the police. The police in some areas need to say. But really, there are those provinces that say that something must be done. But they're not saying that the police are not. There are no talks between the police and the ICE. In some provinces there are, but we want to encourage all provinces to do the same. We can't, out of 9 provinces, have 1 or 2 provinces who are doing something different from other provinces. And also, must also be addressing in the issue of the saving of the. Because if you say that when they come from the training college and then they arrive at the station, they're not going to do what they did. At the training college, what do you want? I mean, what they use, they're not paying them at training college. If what they're doing there is not relevant, what they're doing. So, some of those things that we need to be paying attention. But I think when we make even the report, you spoke about the ordinary and another, I do have that report. They came to me, they sent it to me, they gave me the report, they made the presentation to my office. I called 2 or 3 members of the NGO, I sent it there. You see? So I'm saying that not even them alone, there are some other NGOs who are also interested in this, who do also do research on that, and they support this. That's why you are saying that let us work together and see whether we can win this battle. Otherwise, we have to do something in order for us to be able to win this battle. And thank you very much. I think we'll break 5 minutes down for tea before we take the long list of a commissioner and the commissioner.
I'm not sure that you are finished with some kind of question because I'm a little bit different. So I'm keen to get the answer to my question about what the purpose of the implementation and management that is associated through.
Well, the only mechanism that they have is the inspection consultation, visits by ITD, visits by complaints raised by members of the party. These are the only mechanisms that they have in that regard. But if I may just make a remark, the sexual offences instruction we provide public to members, they need to have a lesson that we discussed today, but just to replace it on the level that we provide for.
No, that's fine. Let us pray for 5 minutes and just the couple of people can make any questions. Thank you very much, Commissioner. You need to ask the issues for more the NGO opinion. No, thank you very much. You're welcome. Thank you.
Morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
What female?
What is that? That's a male.
They don't know.
Yeah, you see, everyone knows them. Tengo el sitio para hacer ahí, para tengo el para hacer la moda. Y básicamente nada más. Y yo voy a ir en banco. Antes de ir a 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 als die Nürnchen von oben zu brechen, die können noch andere Dinge, deshalb will ich eigentlich mal extra nicht hören. Anne, so was auch so fein zu brechen wird. Als die Dieter hier gut zusammenbrechen, das ist dann die Geldbeste, aber das kleine, weil hier wäre schon mal, dann guckst du auch noch auf Deutschland.
Du bist das schon zum Lied von,
Das ist ja auch die Objektkamera.
Absolut.
Ja,
absolut.
Ja, und es war machlich verkriegbar.
Ja, das ist
exzellent dünn, exzellent.
Das ist doch wunderbar. Das ist doch
Yeah.
And then the Wednesday is used for our own work.
For our own work.
Then this is all this proclamation. You have the problem here. You see under the Domestic Violence Act, yeah? Then it's dealt with that one. That's your question. And then we then use the remaining consideration by Parliament of proclamations in terms of Section 26 of the Protection of Constitutional Democracy against Service and Related Activities Act 2004. And general.
Happening now is that this list that was published 6 May last year, which I have already presented to the committee. In the meantime, the Security Council Committee has made a number of amendments to that list. Insertions, deletions, and auto rectification. So all these proclamations that we put in the committee at the moment are just amendments to the list that I briefed the committee on last year. So see, if you would allow me, I'm not going formally through the whole presentation, I will just speak to the matter on some background, maybe refresh your memory on some of the issues. Madam Chair, after the September 11th events in Washington and New York, the Twin Towers and all that, the Security Council actually took two major resolutions that the Security Council of the UN. The one was Resolution 1373, which dealt with the broad obligations of countries in respect of terrorism. The second resolution, the Resolution 1267, which established a committee, and that committee's work is to oversee the implementation of sanctions that the Security Council has imposed on members of the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda organization. And these resolutions and these proclamations only relate to the Al-Qaeda and Taliban members which have been listed by the committee. Now, the work of the committee is to listen to applications from different countries. You have people placed, suspects placed on this list. And once they are listed, then all countries are obliged to comply with the sanctions that the Security Council has approved in respect of these members. In other words, countries may not provide transit to the countries of these members. If they have assets in countries, the assets must be seized. They must not be allowed to get hold of weapons, etc. Now, in terms of our terrorist legislation, Protection of Constitutional Democracy and Terrorism Related Activities Act, the President is obliged to publish in the Gazette that list and also the amendments and what follow on that list in order for institutions in South Africa to know about the list and to apply in banks, etc., the sanctions that have been imposed. Now, Madam Chair, I can just mention, I'm just aware of one person in South Africa that's on the list, not in one of these lists, but in the comprehensive list, which is available on the internet as well. You will see the proclamation to refer to the internet address as well. And that is a citizen of Bantush. And you recall there was much in the news about him. He at present has refugee status in South Africa. Otherwise, there are no South Africans on the list. You will recall that some time ago there was an attempt to have two persons and an entity, two persons by the name of Dr. and Sniper Africa, to have them placed. But South Africa, being in the Security Council at the moment, asked for that listing to be placed on hold because the South African government was not satisfied that there was enough information to list these persons. Okay, so there's nothing new in this. It is just additions and deletions and rectifications on the later list. And as you know, there are certain powers in the terrorist legislation that if any of the persons on that list who come into South Africa, we have operational arrangements that if they come in, they are flagged and we will know that they come into South Africa. If they have assets in South Africa, it comes to our knowledge, we have the powers in the terrorist legislation to freeze the assets. Or if they commit other offences in South Africa, we of course have the necessary legislative framework to deal with that. Madam Chair, I think I would just like to bring to the attention of the committee two issues. During last year, there was a letter by Mr. Martin Shannon, the special rapporteur for human rights within the context of the combating of terrorism. He visited South Africa and he looked at our legislation and how we deal with it from a human rights perspective. And he has actually made a report which is on the internet. And the only comment that we really made in terms of our act was that we recommend that government closely monitor the implementation of the new law and be prepared to amend it should its interpretation suggest a threat to human rights. And that was why it was referred to the definition of terrorist activity. Now, of course, we are monitoring that, but as you know, there's only been one prosecution under the Act, and that was of the Mr. Borja, who was convicted because they assisted the people who escaped from the Burma Straat. So, Madam Chair, I can just confirm, we are monitoring the Act, and you will also know that recently the United Nations Counterterrorism Executive Directorate also visited South Africa and looked at the whole issue, how we deal with terrorism in operational sense, with legislation, our compliance with all the different conventions and protocols, and they have noted that we have actually ratified and acceded to all the protocols. We are still awaiting that report as well. And once we receive the final report, I think we need to just inform the committee also on what are the findings in respect of the legislation, because I think this committee is interested in knowing, you know, what is the comment on the level of the United Nations in terms of the Act. Madam Chair, I just mentioned that I've come back, because I think what is important in the context of this submission is that it was the first time that there was also a person from this 1267 committee. He was part of the UN delegation that visited South Africa. We also looked at the issue of visiting the Cedra. So we will also note then what will be the comment on how we apply this specific definition. And as I said, I will report to you once we have the report from. Madam Chair, if you are satisfied with that, I don't know whether you want questions on this first, or should I finalize all the different issues because Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the following one then is a briefing to the committee on the arrangement between the Minister for Safety and Security of South Africa and the Minister of Interior and Kingdom Relations of the Kingdom of the Netherlands on bilateral police cooperation. Madam Chair, first I should mention that when we negotiated this document, we got a request from the Netherlands Authority that it should take the form of what they call an arrangement. Now, we also said to the state law advisors, and they are of the opinion that the document is not a legally binding document like a memorandum of understanding or an agreement. But we thought, nevertheless, we will submit it to the committee because it was in the news, and I think the committee needs to know of our interactions with our colleagues in other countries. Basically, the agreement is on non-operational cooperation. It mostly deals with training issues and also the exchange of expertise, even with review to the SOCA 2010, and they are very interested to share experiences with us in respect of border control and specifically the issue of domestic violence. So, Madam Chair, in a nutshell, that is it. There is a provision in the arrangement that within 6 months steps will be taken for the implementation of the arrangement. Last week there was already discussion on high level, and I believe the document was signed giving some content to the steps and the set of training that will be taken in terms of this agreement. It is also linked to certain cities in the Netherlands, and the practice in the Netherlands is to get such an agreement to a specific police service or part of the police service to implement and deliver. So I think that is a very beneficial arrangement in terms of strengthening the capacity and interaction with another police service. But I'm saying the following one is the briefing to the committee on the MOU between the Government of the Republic and the African Union, contributing members of South African Police Service to the AU Electoral and Security Assistance Mission to the Comoros. I would say this was in relation to the island elections that took place during last year. We were requested by the AU to provide assistance. Initially, the Defence Force would have been much more involved, but we ended up with some 80 members of South African Police Service and the function or the purpose of going there was twofold. Firstly, to be some capacity and training to the Comoros police in order to enable them in future elections to be more self-reliant in terms of their capacity. So there was some equipment taken with them, like tear gas, shields, etc. And we have given them training in the run-up to the election. And then during the election, our members were divided between the islands, and they were available for operational support if there would be violence, etc. They could have been operationally involved. And I must say, at a very late stage, we had to negotiate this agreement because we felt it was necessary for two things. Firstly, for the African Union to have a specific agreement with the Comoros government. And that is what they call a status of forces agreement that will protect our members in executing their official functions there because they will be operationally deployed. And secondly, then this agreement also protecting them in respect of executing their duties in that country so that they will not stand open to all types of legal actions which relate to their duties. Madam Chair, I want to refer to the cost involved. It cost 5,514,690, of which just more than 5 million was paid back to the South African Police Service through the African Renaissance Fund, because that was the undertaking from the Department of Foreign Affairs that they will be from the staff for that. The difference of almost 500,000 relates to the use of the staff of its own aircraft. If you look at the agreement, you will see that the AU could have provided aircraft, but it was not possible, and the staff used its own aircraft, and we will not need from it for that part of the budget. And okay, the last agreement is also very simple. With the meeting of the Commonwealth in Uganda, just before the end of last year, we received a request for assistance, and you will recall that we also had an agreement, cooperation agreement with the Uganda government on police cooperation. We received a request to assist to provide operational support for if there could have been terrorist incidents, first response, and also some training. So 12 members of our task force went for a period from 10 November until 30 November to Uganda to provide support. They could have been two small boats and helicopters for the UK. And I think they were quite successful in what they did there. And that was just for the support that was given during the head of state in Uganda. Madam Chair, that is basically, I can just offer the cost involved for the 12 members for that period was 345,000 rand, 596. That was also not refunded to us, that came from the tax office. Thank you very much.
That comes a big question now. Please don't do it again, Annalise. And you know the question for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know the question that is going to come out of the manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know the question. And we are not expecting you to go back and come back and tell us where that funding came from. You must tell us now that where it came from. Annalise?
The question is whether it came from
this was for the transport and accommodation and yield. So it must come from the budget where the vendors are located. In other words, from the transport. And of course, as you say, they fall within the liberal policing, but I can't say that it was from the liberal policing regarding each event or from, but I normally when it's for the subsistence of the members, it should come from the budget where the members are on the fact that I'm very dependent on the budget from the four other things that are considered the last one.
I think we need to study the business to respond, but I think we need to increase the steps of the government. We might need to go now about the same one, you hope to use another. I think it's quite a few issues. And whether it's not possible for them to budget for these kinds of corporations or have it somewhere else, because I mean, quite a visible thing for us to priority. And it's problematic for us to financially look at it in a sound way if they use political solutions to fund these kinds of things, whatever the arguments may be to do so. And I know it's difficult to budget for these things because you don't always know how many of them are going to come about, but the same goes then in terms of political solutions.
If I may respond to that, I think within this financial year, I want to point out as well that there's a huge difference, because I think especially the Comoros one can be very much related to peacekeeping stuff, because there was some tension in the Comoros at the time. And there's a huge change that came about within this financial year. I think you will recall that the African Union mission in Darfur, where we had huge expenses, had been re-added in the meantime as a United Nations joint African Union mission. And the financial situation there is transition, because we are not sending what they call a form police unit. We are sending individual members. And those members go into a contract with the United Nations, and the United Nations provide them with their salary, they provide them with the transport, everything. So I think within this year, our situation with peacekeeping issues has changed to a large extent, and it's only in Darfur that these officials are deployed. So, but I hear Madam Chair, and I must say, it is very difficult for the task. Well, you can imagine, sometimes on very short notice, we get the request, and maybe sometimes the decision on a very high political level that the President might come undertaking, and I'm not saying it was the case in this one. But that undertaking is made on a high political level that South Africa will get some assistance. And then the task is off on a very late stage. We have to negotiate these agreements. And I must tell you that if it wasn't for the intervention from the European society, there wouldn't even have been an MOU. But we just felt we can't get our members into an operational situation without some legal protection in terms of what they are expected to do there. But I really, and I think something that will come to Parliament as well soon, is that there is consideration of a new policy or white paper on peacekeeping. And that white paper will set out procedures, also parliamentary procedures, in terms of approval of peacekeeping issues. And I think relating to peacekeeping, that will actually be our great assistance to the task as well. But once again, I appreciate what the honourable member from Wright is saying, that I think it will assist us, but as you said, I think it's very difficult to really to go in budget for items like this. But I can convey it to our financial people and see whether we can maybe at least say it's 15 or 20 million rand a year, at least have that somewhere available. Thank you, ma'am.
We
will not put it in the speaker service.
Thank you. No, I was just consulting with the media. You know, nowadays, everything that we do now, we must always comply with the laws of this country and know your responsibility as the parliament. Now, I said, there are so many 231.3 that is in the constitution. What is actually our responsibility as the portfolio committee? Why are these things being brought here? But I understand that it's for, according to the constitution, it's for information. There is no report that is expected from us by parliament, according to this, unless something else that you know that I don't know which does not affect here.
Madam Chair, yes, we check with every one of these agreements. You recall the White Chapter one was one that needed ratification. This is all three weeks of, although they can say the Netherlands one is just for ratification, And I think the others as well, because they are technical agreements which fall within Section 2, where it must be tabled in Parliament, and I think it's tabled in great number of times.
We are done.
Thank you. that they are different or that it would be a problem.
How do you want to
do it? If you want to do it, if you want to do it, for example, if I want to do it, if you 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 want to do it.
I never